Hello, this is Sharon. I bring you the pantograph dated Wednesday, October 17th, 2018. We will begin today's reading on the front page of the paper with an article entitled "Fire Destroys Carlock Business, Cause Probed." Fire Chief, Building for Powder Coating Company, a total loss. Investigators are looking for the cause of a fire that destroyed a Carlock business Tuesday afternoon. The Carlock Fire Department was called around noon to J&J Performance Powder Coating at 410 East Washington Street, said Carlock Fire Chief Greg Moore. "When we got here, it was heavily involved," he said. "The wind wasn't working in our favor today, and we have a building that is a total loss. There were no injuries, which was a consolation to business owner Jim Dolan. That's the important thing, and not only for us, but we don't want any of these firefighters hurt either," he said. Dolan and one other employee work at the business that does sandblasting and powder coating. The company provides a variety of powder coating services, including high-volume production powder coating and single custom powder-coated parts. "I don't even know what to say right now," Dolan said, "but I tend to count my blessings, and it's just a building in Carlock, Illinois. Nobody was hurt, and that's the only thing that matters." Dolan said he hadn't yet thought about whether to rebuild or not. "I just have a lot of thoughts, and we will make those decisions later," he said. Fire crews from Carlock, Congerville, Hudson, and Dale Township were at the scene. The McLean County Sheriff's Department also was on the scene on US 150, helping with traffic control. Traffic was limited when possible, but the entrance ramp for Interstate 74 is closed for construction, and the only main road east of town is US 150. Several onlookers were located a few blocks away. "I was driving on the interstate and saw all of the smoke," said Carl Mackinson of Peoria. "I'm a nosy son of a gun, and so I had to see what was going on. I feel bad for the owners because I can tell there is a lot of damage." Bill Sandberg of Carlock lives a few blocks away from the scene. "I heard all of the fire trucks and knew it must have been a bad one," he said. "I've never been there, and I'm not sure what they do, but you hate to see that, no matter who it is." Pritzker lays out vision for state. Kitchen table issues touted in Bloomington. J.B. Pritzker is counting on kitchen table issues and a healthy dose of criticism of incumbent Bruce Rauner to win him Illinois' top office as the November 6 election approaches. The Democratic nominee for governor puts stagnant wages, labor training, health care, and college costs front and center as he laid out his vision for the state and why he says the Republican Rauner has failed to the Pantograph's editorial board on Tuesday. "The goal of all of this that I've talked about around kitchen table issues is to raise people's standard of living," he said. "When you can lower the cost of health care a couple thousand dollars through a public option, that's money back on the table. I've talked about higher ed and making that more affordable, and then creating jobs and raising wages. It's my fundamental belief this is what it is to be a Democrat," he said. "I've demonstrated through my life these things are important to me. Lifting up working families across the state." Pritzker reiterates he hopes to attract new jobs, work with unions and others to increase apprenticeship programs, give residents the ability to buy into the state Medicaid system, and provide better higher education funding, both to students and universities, to keep new graduates in Illinois. But Pritzker, an heir to Hyatt Hotels and an entrepreneur, also avoided saying how much tax revenue he hopes to raise to address those problems and what will be the exact structure of his proposed graduated income tax, which he claims will tax the rich more and give middle-class families a tax cut. Rahner has referred to the plan as a stealth tax hike. They would get a tax break, said Pritzker, of a theoretical family of four making $75,000 or $100,000 per year. Those who can most afford to pay a little bit more can and should, and the vast majority of people in the state should pay less in income taxes. We've got an unfair tax system now. Pritzker reiterated his hope to reduce property taxes as well, in part by shifting school districts from local property tax funding toward state support. Pritzker estimated a combined $1 billion annually could be found by legalizing recreational marijuana and sports betting, though he didn't endorse the latter, saying, "It's something I would put on the table." A group of legislators is working on a bill to legalize marijuana that could be considered in 2019. Pritzker also didn't lay out a detailed plan to address the state's pension backlog, estimated at near $130 billion, though he opposes attempts to reduce what's owed to state retirees, as Rahner has endorsed. The Illinois Supreme Court struck down a 2013 law that addressed the pension problem, which is rooted in guaranteed year-over-year benefits for retirees and skipped payments by previous legislatures. There are multiple proposals out there to how to address the pension issue, he said. One of them is a proposal that would have us increase the amount that we're putting into the system now in order to level out the amortization schedule going forward. If you can flatten the amount of money that we're paying, that becomes a smaller and smaller percentage of the state economy. Pritzker noted he and Rahner agree on the need for independently drawn legislative maps. A third party drawing the districts lawmakers represent, rather than a political party, and to an extent on term limitations. Rahner supports term limits across state offices, while Pritzker supports them for legislative leaders only. Other governor candidates are Grayson Cash Jackson for the Libertarian Party and Republican State Senator Sam McCann for the Conservative Party. Today's Flick Fact. True or false? If the Los Angeles Dodgers hit well this evening and the opposing Milwaukee Brewers need to make a pitching change in the National League Baseball Championship Series, a lot of 47-year-old Normal University high school graduates will take notice. And the answer? That's true. The pitching coach for the Milwaukee Brewers is Derek Johnson, a former Twin City resident and a 1989 U-High grad. Daily Digest. Drone conference set November 9. Heartland Community College is hosting Drones in the Heartland, a day-long learning and networking conference about unmanned aerial vehicle technology. The conference will be 8 a.m. to 2:30 p.m. November 9th on the Heartland campus, 1500 West Robb Road in Normal. Keynote speaker will be Keenan Campbell, director of the Bureau County Emergency Management Association. Also planned are sessions on agricultural applications, emergency response, educational practices, regulations and safety, and innovation. The conference will also have demonstrations, tips for certification tests, and consumer information. For more information or to register, visit www.heartland.edu/continuingEd/drone.html. Road closure. 2050 North Road in Danvers Township between Congerville Road, also CH 55 or 350 East Road, and Danvers Carlock Road, also CH 53 or 500 East Road, will be closed to through traffic on Wednesday for culvert work in the area, weather permitting. Today is Wednesday, October 17th, the 290th day of 2018. We only have 75 days left in this year. Today's highlights. On October 17, 1933, Albert Einstein arrived in the United States as a refugee from Nazi Germany. Thought for today from Dorothy Thompson, an American journalist who lived from 1894 to 1961. The thinking of a genius does not proceed logically. It leaps with great ellipses. It pulls knowledge from God knows where. Continuing with more local and state news, DeWitt County wind farm decision delayed. Officials to okay new land use plan, solar farm rules first. A decision on a controversial DeWitt County wind farm proposal will not come until February or March. Lenexa, Kansas-based Tradewind Energy, Inc. filed a special use permit request last month for Alta Farms Wind Project 2, but DeWitt County officials want to approve a new comprehensive land use plan and review the county's solar power ordinances first. The DeWitt County Regional Planning Commission met Tuesday night, but did not hear testimony on the proposed $300 million project expected to erect up to 68 wind turbines across 12,000 acres in Barnett, Clintonia, and Wapella townships. Commission Chairman David Stewart announced the timeline after talking with County Board Chairman Dave Newberg. In November, the Commission will have a public hearing on the comprehensive land use plan prior to its November 20th meeting. The committee then will vote on the plan and forward a recommendation on the special use permit to the County Board of Appeals. The reasoning behind this is that the fiscal year ends in November, and the county has already committed money to finalizing the comprehensive plan this fiscal year, so they would like us to finish that first, Stewart said. By doing that, it would set up a schedule in which the county board could vote on the comprehensive plan before the end of the fiscal year. In December, the Commission will review the current solar farm ordinances and then schedule a review of the Tradewind Energy Special Use Permit request after the first of the calendar year, most likely in February or March. After reviewing the application, the Commission will determine if it meets the criteria for a special use permit and forward a recommendation to ZBA. The ZBA also will consider the application and forward the application to the full county board with a recommendation. Earlier this year, Tradewind announced plans to submit the plan in the late spring, but potential changes in the county's wind farm ordinances slowed their progress. Most recently, the company hoped to begin construction in the spring and have it online by 2020. The farm is expected to provide no more than 290 megawatts of power. Tradewind's paperwork says the project will yield 254 construction jobs and 21 permanent jobs, and a total of more than $35 million in property tax revenue over its lifespan. Opponents already have fought hard to strengthen the county's wind farm ordinance code, gaining some victories but losing several others, including limiting the heights of the turbines. In reviewing Tradewind's application, it is clear that it does not meet the criteria for a special use permit in DeWitt County, said DeWitt County resident Andrea Rhodes, one of the wind farm's opponents. Board eyes shuttered landfill for solar farm. Part of the now-shuttered McLean County landfill may soon find new life. A 52-acre section of the West Bloomington facility is on track to become a solar farm after the McLean County Board signed off on one in a rare unanimous vote Tuesday. Officials have questioned how much farmland they're willing to take out of crop production for solar farms. That's why board members Don Cavallini and Catherine Metzger voted against two other solar farm proposals that passed on Tuesday. "I think it is an ideal use of the land, so I can support this," said Metzger of the landfill project. McLean County Farm Bureau officials have said they're monitoring the trend, but generally support landowners' right to do what they wish with their land. The county is responsible for approving special use permits for solar farms in agricultural districts with guidance from the county's zoning board. "Our comprehensive plan does need to be updated," said board member Josh Barnett. "That doesn't mean that we stopped doing anything. You have to call an audible on this field. We're in that with this particular issue." The county has now approved 14 solar farm applications, though many are unlikely to be built because they also require state approval. The state is expected to choose which solar farms proceed early next year. The West Bloomington Solar Farm is a project of La Jolla, California-based Terra Navigator, a company that redevelops brownfield sites that aren't desirable for traditional developers. No cost or megawatt count was listed, but it's expected to provide enough energy to power 931 homes annually. The landfill site is 73.6 acres in total, including 43.2 acres of landfill space. The 2105 West Oakland Avenue facility closed on October 1st, sending local trash to the Livingston County landfill near Pontiac. The two other projects approved Tuesday are from Boston-based NexAmp Renewables, which was previously approved for two solar farms near Hayworth. The two 2-megawatt farms are on adjacent parcels totaling 78 acres near the intersection of County Road 1100 North and 3300 East. Metzger said the Hayworth site has a land evaluation and site assessment score of 247.6. Under the state system, 230 and above is prime farmland. Business to add gaming. Normal Gadgets to open esports space in Move this month. Competitive gamers soon have their own corner of the Twin Cities. A year after Illinois Wesleyan University started Bloomington Normal's first esports program, including turning part of Hanson Student Center into its own esports arena, Normal Gadgets plans to open a similar but much more ambitious space for the public when it moves later this month to Southeast Bloomington. We hope this can be a place people come to have fun, and maybe it becomes kind of a feeder into the esports field, said Normal Gadgets CFO Terry Ballantini of its new side business, Play Normal Esports. We know that this concept works in other markets, and we think there's a great opportunity for it in Bloomington Normal. Customers will be able to sit down at one of 50 stations, each featuring a high-end gaming computer or video game console, and play for a one-hour, three-hour, or all-day fee. The business also will offer snacks and party rooms. Ballantini acknowledges it's an ambitious concept for Normal Gadgets, which on October 29th will move from 2103 North Veterans Parkway, Suite 112 in Bloomington, where it has been for 7 years, and hopefully open the side business the same day. Both businesses eventually will be at 802 South El Dorado Road, still off of Veterans Parkway. We've been in the service business for 7 years. Now we're going into the entertainment business and the food business and throwing parties, said Ballantini of Normal Gadgets, which specializes in repairing computers and cell phones. That's new to us, but everybody we talk to seems to be excited. The move will take Normal Gadgets from 1,200 square feet to 4,200 square feet, although most of that will be used by Play Normal, Ballantini said. The business is also adding more employees from 6 to 8 and hopefully 4 more in the future, with 5 full-time staffers. The challenge has always been a little interior space and mostly parking spaces, said Ballantini, who owns Normal Gadgets with his wife, Angie. We're allocated 3 spaces now. Down there are 30 and 40. The businesses will operate on different hours. Normal Gadgets will still be open 10 a.m. to 7 p.m. Monday through Friday, and 10 a.m. to 3 p.m. Saturday. But Play Normal will be open noon to 10 p.m. Monday through Thursday, noon to midnight Friday and Saturday, and noon to 9 p.m. on Sunday. Ballantini said he hopes to attract customers from Springfield, Champaign, and Peoria, but he already has one interested party just down the road. We're really excited for the place to open up, said Callum Fletcher, coach of IWU's esports team. It gives us an opportunity to scout local talent that we might not have noticed otherwise, and an additional place in town to utilize as a competition space. I think this is a really cool opportunity for the communities of Bloomington Normal to have a place for gamers to really call their own. Heartland to hold off levying equity tax. Heartland Community College learned recently that it is once again eligible to levy what's called the equity tax, but administrators are not recommending such action this year. Eligibility is based on a complex formula that involves the district's enrollment, property tax values, and how its tax rate compares with community college districts elsewhere in the state. It's a moving target, Doug Minter, Vice President for Business Services, told the Board of Trustees at its meeting in Pontiac on Monday night. College officials thought the district would not be eligible this year and planned accordingly. Although the board has a deficit this year and money from the equity tax levy would have helped, officials decided to stay on the course already set. It's a constant balancing act for us to manage the district's finances in a fiscally responsible way, Minter said after the meeting. He explained that the college is in the midst of a long-term plan to achieve long-standing financial stability and put the district's budget back in the black by 2021. The eligibility lasts for 2 years, and the district can reevaluate its decision next September to decide whether to include an equity tax in calendar year 2019, Minter told the board. The board also received a report on work being done at its Pontiac Center. Padraic Shinville, Dean of Enrollment Services, said unduplicated headcount enrollment has fluctuated over the years, and this fall's enrollment of 134 students is down 13 from a year ago. Credit hours also were down this fall, with 911 compared to 1,160 a year ago. However, Shinville said that was a result, in part, of fewer classes being offered this fall. A task force is doing a comprehensive review of both the Pontiac and Lincoln regional centers to determine how best to meet the future needs of the communities they serve. The review will include collecting information from various stakeholders. A report is expected to be completed by the end of the academic year, identifying needs and workforce and economic development trends. It will include recommendations for possible enhancement of program offerings, facility improvements, and staff to meet the region's needs and to foster student success. Heartland opened a new center in Lincoln earlier this year that enabled it to expand in some areas, such as adult education. The board also learned that preliminary findings from its annual audit found no deficiencies or material weaknesses. A complete audit report will be given at its November meeting. How time flies. 100 years ago today, October 17, 1918. Election day is coming and voter registration has just closed this week. Probably the oldest voter to register was Reuben Harris, and he's 96 years old. 75 years ago today, Who's Who in the Western Hemisphere is due out soon and will feature Duluth music professor Dale Miller from Normal. 50 years ago today, Normal's new city administrator will be Clarence Bigelow. And 25 years ago today, on October 17, 1993, the Pantograph ran a feature titled "Some Buyers Are Shopping at Home." People supposedly have money but are time poor and can't spend their weekends in shopping malls. The feature was about catalog shopping, toll-free hotlines for placing orders, and quick postal deliveries. We'll take a short break now and then return with the second half of the Pantograph for Wednesday, October 17th. Please stay tuned.